Welcome to Bible Line, a ministry of Calvary Community Church. Our podcast is dedicated to the clear teaching of God's Word. We aim to help people find Jesus Christ and train believers through the study of the Bible. We would love to feature your questions on the show. You can email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to calvaryoftampa.org/donate. Catch new episodes every Thursday. We pray today's episode is a blessing to you.
Alrighty, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today's question is, can a believer become possessed by a demon? Very good question. And I know I say that about every question, but it is a good question. I actually just got an email about this earlier today. I want to preface this by saying we live in a very evil time. If you have your Bible, look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it is really a description of the last days. Now, a lot of believers thought they were in the last days, and I think we are in the last days. I think you see the rise of different type of social justice movements for particular things. You see this rise of science. You see God is forced out of the school. I mean, that happened a long time ago, but now he's forced out of the home. There are so many kids that are being raised without any idea of who God is. They don't even know the basic stories that maybe you and I grew up with, like Noah and the Ark, or Abraham and Isaac, or Jacob, or Joseph and the coat of many colors. There's an attack to just eliminate all of that out of our kids' education. And it's working, because you can see the culture that is happening today is fitting exactly like in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. So read with me here. This know also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And this is the thing that I think encapsulates all of this at the end of verse 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Our society is so focused on itself. I've heard our kids in Youth Ranch say, well, the best kind of love is self-love. Does that not fulfill this verse here? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God? Friend, the best kind of love you can receive is that agape love that God demonstrated through the death of his son. And he was buried and he rose again for the payment of the sin of all the world. That's the best kind of love. But we're in a culture today where we love pleasure more than we love God. In verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Think of that, having the form of godliness. Think of the main goal of, you know, socialism, you know, this human utopia. The form of godliness, the form of perfection, the form of righteousness, but denying the power thereof. How does a person deny the power of godliness? Well, they reject God. They reject his son. They turn the Bible into a fable. They're boasters, they're proud, they blaspheme God, they're disobedient to parents. You read that whole list and you can see we are in the last days. Now, I preface that with my answer today because I think the rise of humanitarian efforts, not like doing good things for like charity things, but the rise of humanism and secular humanism and the rise of science and the tendency for people to believe more of what man says than what God says makes demonic activity fierce. It is incredibly present. And it's crucial to understand where the believer is when it comes to demonic possession. The short answer is no. The Bible does not teach that a believer can become possessed by a demon, but they can be demonically oppressed. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if you take your Bible, and you look in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13, we have a very comforting set of verses here. It tells us that the believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. There's a whole application here for the believer receiving the Holy Spirit the moment that they trust in Christ. So when they have that Spirit, they become sealed by it. As it says at the end of verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And when we look at that word sealed, we recognize how powerful it is. Really, from the Greek there, it means to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation, literally or figuratively. By implication, to keep, to attest, to seal up, to stop. That's what that word in the original language means there. So you, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you have believed on his death, burial, and resurrection for the full payment of your past, present, and future sin, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And he is our earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, so to speak. Not to say that our sin is not paid for, but this is a promise that is given to us until the redemption of the purchased possession, when Christ comes back or when we die. We're going to be sealed with that Holy Spirit all the way up to the day we die or until the rapture happens. And this is a great promise. That is a reason why the Bible teaches you can't be demonically possessed. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Here's another very good verse to use. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verses 19 through 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? The verse we just looked at in Ephesians 1:13 through 14 tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. And this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19, says, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. And here is the very important point to see. And ye are not your own. This is crucial. Ye are not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is important to see. Your spirit was born of God, as we looked at last week in 1 John 3:9. Born of God cannot commit sin. Your body has been purchased by the blood of Christ. A demon cannot come into your body and rule in it while the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and that indwelling is permanent. These are great points. These are great things to look at, because that we're in a culture today and we're in media and we see things in movies and TV shows and even in music where there's a celebration of this demonic activity, this demonic possession stuff, and it's dangerous and believers ought not mess with it. But there's assurance here that a believer cannot become demon possessed. Your body is purchased by the blood of Christ. If you have put your trust in him, you have a new nature that is a new spirit that is of God's. You've been bought with a price. And the whole point of 1 Corinthians 6 here, starting in verse 15, is the Corinthian church was dealing with serious issues of prostitution. They were committing adultery, committing fornication. And Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, hello, hello, wake up. This body you have is not your own. Stop living in this carnal way. But they never became possessed by a demon. But our battle is spiritual. So if you take your Bible and you go to Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 10 through 12, we have a dissertation here on the armor of God. We've got the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with truth, the feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and we use all these things through prayer and supplication. And that's what Ephesians 6:10 through 18 describes. But I want to focus on verses 10, 11, and 12, because we see here where our battle is going to be fought. And this is where I believe the Bible talks about demonic oppression, which is different than possession. Possession is when a demon comes into a person's body and gives them no control, takes that control from them. And oppression is when demonic forces acting outside of the believer impact what the believer is going through. I believe this happens a lot in foreign countries. I've heard testimonies of missionaries that have experienced this. And I think as well, it happens to believers that are not disciplined here on earth. or maybe had things in their past that allowed certain things to impact them more than others. I'll give you an example before we get into the scripture here. I've made a decision, partially because this is what I don't enjoy, and partially because I think the scripture talks about it. I've made a decision to avoid all things in the horror genre. I don't watch scary movies. I don't play with the Ouija board stuff. I don't look at tarot cards. I don't do the astrology things and knowing your sign and knowing all those things, reading the horoscopes and all that. I think all of that is an agent of demonic influence, and it abounds in our culture today. People literally make decisions on who they're going to spend the rest of their life with and a spouse because some newspaper gave them the horoscope of who they could match up with this month. I mean, that's crazy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I think a lot of people expose themselves to those types of movies and TV shows about demonic possession. I have no idea what a demonic possession looks like except for what the scripture has informed me. I don't watch those kind of movies. I don't participate in that kind of content because I don't want there to be any kind of opportunity for a demon to influence things around me in that way. So I've made a decision in that regard. And I would strongly suggest you to do that as well. I'm not saying that will make you more spiritual, but for me, I don't have to worry about ever seeing that kind of thing, you know, at least willingly. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, we have this understanding of the armor of God, but it's prefaced by these three verses. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, what is wiles? Well, a wile specifically here means trickery, deceit that lies in wait. If you look at the Greek word there for wiles, you see it's a method of trickery. The devil is going to try and trick you. Now, I don't think the devil is omnipresent, so I don't think he's working on every single individual, but he uses those fallen angels to try and deceive people, and many people are being deceived. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, if you want to avoid demonic oppression, you need to know what this verse means. And so for us to do that, we need to break it down and look at the words that are used. First word there that stands out is what we're not fighting against. Flesh and blood, things of the body. That word flesh there is talking about the meat of man. Okay, it's not talking about the flesh nature, because we will fight against the flesh nature, but we're not supposed to be warring with other human beings. We need to win those people to Christ. So what are we warring against? Well, it says principalities, and that first word there means chief. Principalities means chief power, chief principal, chief magistrate. And then the next definition that we need to look at is powers, and that word is a force, a capacity. So these powers, these chief rulers against the rulers of darkness, literally here is that is obscurity, shadiness of this world. Okay, so we're talking about a spiritual plane of this world, and as it says in the rest of this verse, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the word I want to focus on the most in this passage. High. This is literally above the sky, celestial, in the heavens. Not in heaven where God is, but outside of what you and I can see. There are forces at work. I believe this verse is, this passage is teaching us. There are forces at work that we cannot see, but they can still impact us, and we can still fight them. And the way we fight them is by preparing our spirit to be ready to stand in his might, as it says in verse 10, and in the power of his might. We need to, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil. So the more a Christian can guard the things that they see, the better it's going to be for them in the long haul. Think about it. If you eliminate all of that demonic media and movies and TV and music, if you get those things out of your life, it is protecting, it is guarding your mind from being deceived by the wiles of the devil. And sadly, I think a lot of Christians in their liberty say, well, you know, this is fun for me, I enjoy it, so on and so forth. You can make that decision, but there's going to be consequences for that decision that you may not like. And I think those are things you need to really pray about and seek God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. So I don't believe the Bible teaches that a believer can become possessed by a demon. Just to recap, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14 tells us that. Our bodies have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We see that in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Our bodies are not our own. Our spirits are of God. So a demon can't come in there and do as it pleases. But we do see that our battle is spiritual, and we see that in Ephesians 6:10-12. I do want to look at one other verse here. We can be hindered, and Paul was hindered, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So a believer who is really effective in sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ and exposing error with biblical truth, you're going to come into some hardships. There's going to be some things that happen to you that are outside explaining. Don't take that as a sign that, oh my goodness, I must be doing something wrong, or am I experiencing demonic possession? No, there's a war against you. And I encourage you to be prepared with the armor of God. Put it on daily. Learn how to pray. Learn how to fight battles that really matter. I see a lot happening in the Christian community today where people are going after individuals. Listen, go after a false gospel and realize a person who's teaching a false gospel is actively being deceived by a trickery of the devil. Win them to Christ. Love them to Christ. Hate the false doctrine. That's what we need to hate. The doctrine that sends a person to hell. I hope you can see by the few scriptures that we looked at today how a believer cannot be possessed by a demon, but they certainly, certainly can be oppressed by demonic forces. Don't let that be a discouragement. Put on the whole armor of God and recognize what we're fighting against. Spiritual wickedness in high places, celestial places. Be a bearer of the right gospel, that all a person must do to be saved is believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God. If they put their trust in him, then all of their sin, past, present, future, is paid 100%. They are passed from death unto life, as Jesus says in John 5:24. As we see in Romans 8:33, it is God that justifieth. And we see in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. Let's fight with that message. I look forward to seeing you right back here next week, every Thursday, for another episode of Bibleline. God bless.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. As a thank you to our listeners, we want to give away a free Bible every month this year. To enter, send us an email with your Bible question. Our email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Be sure to subscribe to the show and check back each Thursday for new episodes. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.